Hi, and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's program for July the 13th. I'm Jeannie Wirtz. Which 2,000-year-old army has occupied the Swiss capital since March 2013? And how does an army occupy itself when there's no enemy in sight? Today, we'll take a look at a foreign army of the past and the Swiss army of the present and future. The 10-member army that arrived at Bern's Historical Museum in March was small in number, but great in significance. The 2,000-year-old terracotta warriors were among 8,000 discovered in the tomb of the Chinese Emperor Jin in 1974. Often referred to as the Eighth Wonder of the World, the Terracotta Army is one of the most famous archaeological discoveries of all time. This week, I was introduced to the 10 life-size clay figures and 220 other original artifacts that are occupying Switzerland until November 2013. My guide was Regula Wies, who is responsible for education and outreach at the museum.
So our story begins here, 3,000 years ago, in China, in central China, where the Jin came from.
And how is the emperor's name pronounced?
It's pronounced Jin Shi Huangdi. Jin, that means that the people of Jin and the region Jin, and also the dynasty. And Shi is the first, and Huangdi is the emperor. We begin with the scene when they found the terracotta army, and that was a surprise. In 1974, some farmers found, by chance, this terracotta figures, and it was shown after that that this a large army. You can ask the question, why this Jin dynasty or why this Jin principality rises to power and gets a kingdom, and then in the end in 221 BC gets an empire. And one important reason is the army. The army of the Jin was very strong, very good organized, and so they conquered the neighbor states and unified this big country. Two important things in the army were developed in this time. We talk about the time 400-300 BC, and then people in China learned to use horses, to ride horses. And so they had a cavalry in the army from then on, and they had crossbows. And that's a very special object. When we talk of communication in a Jin army, then we have this small tiger, which is here in two parts, and that's a sign which was used for communication in the army. So one part of this tiger was with the commander in the field, and the other part of the tiger was with the emperor. And when the emperor wants to start the war, he sends a message to the commander in the field with this second half of the tiger. And so when the commander has the two halves of this tiger together, then it was the sign for the army that he has the legitimation to send them in the battle.
What is this hanging from the ceiling here?
There are 8,000 small flags that we have here on the ceiling, and these are 8,000 because there are 8,000 terracotta soldiers, which we know that exist.
So it's to give you an idea of how many that would be if they were standing together.
Yeah, that's right. So we talked about the big tomb complex of Jin Shi Huangdi, and so we had a model here to show how large it is. So we had the burial chamber under this hill in the middle, and under there until today the body of the emperor lies there. And what is very important here, you have the inner circle of this tomb complex with two walls, and the terracotta army was 1.5 kilometers apart.
And the army was put there for the afterlife to protect the emperor.
Yeah, the emperor builds a whole little world, a whole city for the afterlife there, and the army protects the emperor also in the afterlife. So it was also built in this terracotta army with the same functions that you have also in a real army. So you have a cavalryman, we have an archer, we have the commander in chief there, it's the biggest. And then we have two foot soldiers, one is armored and one is not armored because he is part of the vanguard. He has to move very quick, so he didn't have an armor.
And all of the 8,000 soldiers are individual? So
yes, it's so that until today they dig out about 1,500 original soldiers and figures, and we estimate, because of the dimensions of these pits, that there must be 8,000. Here on this film you can see what lasts until later times. So Qin Shi Huangdi was the first founding an empire in China, and since Qin Shi Huangdi in 221 BC until 1911 of our times, China was an empire ruled by an emperor.
Emperor Qin is reported to have ruled China with an iron fist. Switzerland's leaders are more likely to rule with a handshake. And the Swiss army has traditionally had close ties with the business world. But are the army's links with business unraveling? I talked with Swiss Info's business correspondent, Matthew Allen, who examined the relationship in an article published on July 10th. In the past, how did an army career help Swiss men get ahead in the business world?
Well, only a generation ago, the military was seen as a perfect springboard for people who had ambitions to become executives in companies, and banks and manufacturing companies would actively look for army officers. It wasn't just enough just to turn up for your military training. Everyone had to do that. You had to advance through the officer ranks. You had to be identified as having potential and selected as being an officer and trained in leadership skills. And many of the skills that the army trained you in were seen as very translatable to the business world, making the right decisions under pressure, organizing and motivating the troops. But also there was a second element, and that was networking. You would be in barracks with any number of people from all over Switzerland. And as you went through your officer training course, you would form relationships with people that when they went into their civilian life and were looking for someone to fill an executive position, they'd remember you. So there was also an element of the old school tie network going on there as well. But it was very, very important only a generation ago, but less so now.
Why is it changing? People don't network anymore, or...?
Well, one of the big reasons is globalization. We're getting a lot more foreign companies coming over to Switzerland. And these are people who don't really buy into the whole concept or don't really understand it. Also, you're getting an increasing disillusionment among the domestic Swiss people. We've seen in September, we've got yet another vote on asking people whether we need an army at all. You're seeing more and more people trying to wriggle out of military service and military activities. And also the army is due to shrink. So the army is under a lot of pressure at the moment, and society, it seems to be getting disconnected a little bit from the business world and from society in general, and they're a little bit concerned about that.
Are there still companies that endorse this combination of military and civilian life?
Well, very much so. I mean, it's not always not lost. Swiss companies a lot of them are still very much in favor of the military system. It's really more the foreign companies don't really understand it.
On July 3rd, the head of the Swiss Armed Forces, Lieutenant General André Blattmann, took foreign executives out into the field to watch an army exercise. What was the purpose of this?
Well, again, this is the army addressing the concerns they have, that they are losing touch with businesses and with society in general. And so they focused on the businesses and particularly foreign executives. They invited foreign executives of Swiss companies or executives of foreign companies to come to Bulach in Canton Zurich. It was in the pouring rain and we stood in a muddy field and watched tanks rolling by and a very impressive military exercise of coordinated with lots of different soldiers getting on with their tasks. And they were pointing out to these executives, look, you know, I know we're taking your workers away, but we're actually giving them an experience that will help them. And so when they come back to work for you, they actually gain something that they wouldn't have gained had they just stayed in your office. And they just wanted to explain to foreign executives how the system worked. And they're also very concerned to say to executives, look, if you're having problems with this system, then speak to us, speak to our trainers, speak to our training schools. We can be flexible. We can make people available even while they're doing these exercises to come into the office for a day. We can fine-tune our training to match the types of skills you're looking for. And so that was very much a sort of a charm offensive, but also in a practical way to show that they're being flexible to hopefully get more foreign companies on board in the same way that domestic companies already know the system.
That was Matthew Allen. The Swiss Army is facing potentially major changes. In June, the Swiss cabinet released a reorganization proposal, which, among other things, would reduce the number of soldiers from 180,000 to 100,000. And in September, the Swiss people will vote on an initiative which would abolish the requirement for Swiss men to serve in the army. The Group for a Switzerland Without an Army, which launched the initiative, believes that an army is no longer needed for security, and young people should not be forced to learn the art of war. Army supporters believe that military service has many benefits. I spoke with Colonel Philip Imboden, head of the Army's Unit Leadership School at the Military Barracks in Bern, and Kirsten Hemmerich, head of communications, about what the loss of a conscription army would mean for Switzerland.
We would lose a lot of good opportunities, a lot of good people, well-educated people.
A lot of know-how.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have the mix we have now between the regions of the country, Italian-speaking, French-speaking, German-speaking, between the educations, from the carpenter to the doctor, between mentalities, between professions. We wouldn't have that mix anymore because not everyone would have to, only those who really want to.
I wondered why the Army's career professionals don't seem to support the concept of a professional army.
What you want to do with 15 or 20,000 professional soldiers during peacetime? Too much. But during wartime, not enough. It's also very expensive to hold a professional army. And for Switzerland, the conscript system that we got actually is ideal.
It's clear to Imboden that many young Swiss men would prefer not to serve in the military. Kirsten Hemmerich agrees. But as she points out, there are many things that are important, even if we don't like them.
If someone asks you, would you like to pay taxes? Everyone would say, no, thank you. No, thank you. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I can live without.
That was Colonel Philip Imboden and Kirsten Hemmerich at the military barracks in Bern. For information about these and other stories, have a look at swissinfo.ch. Tune in again next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeannie Wirtz.